are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says that, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness?" So what does it mean to be unequally yoked? Should we be unequally yoked with other people? We are joined by Mfundiswami here, my pastor, Pastor Innocent Chijande. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Morning. How are you doing?
I am good, Mfundis. And you? I believe they are well. Yes, indeed. Pastor, before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I would like to thank you for this opportunity you've given us to study from your word, to listen to you speak to us, to allow your Holy Spirit to connect us and help us be converted and live on according to your will. As we continue this program, we pray that you may be in our presence. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, the book of the scripture that I read in 2 Corinthians tell us that we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. First and foremost, what does that mean?
Okay. Unequal yoking, maybe if we look at the text itself and also the context, it will also give us a picture and a better understanding of what unequal yoking actually mean. Mm. Here I'm opening the New International Version, which is a subtitle to that passage. The unequal yoking passage is verse 14, and the subtopic is the temple of the living God.
Mm.
So if we are to understand this issue of unequal yoking, we actually need to understand it from the context of our bodies being the temple of God. So it's also maybe before I read verse 14, to better understand what unequal yoking is, verse 15, 16, going further, they actually try to help us understand the context. So, like verse 15 says, what accord is Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? These are basically like questions that is given. And if we skip to verse so this is chapter 6, if we continue, you actually notice that the emphasis there is actually on the relationship that should not happen between an unbeliever and someone who doesn't believe, or God's temple and the temple that is not of God. So when the Bible is talking here of an equal yoking, the context is in the temple of God. You are a temple of God. Therefore, anyone who doesn't believe in God is not a temple of God. So it's more like a marriage between Baal's temple and God's temple. These temples are actually in opposition. So an equal yoke in this text is basically in a marriage setting. Maybe, and also in other settings, because I believe this setting is not just an unequal yoking in a marriage setting only, because sometimes it can also somehow allude to business, maybe to partnerships in businesses, because what partnership has relationships with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness?
Yeah.
So in other ways, somehow, there shouldn't be a relationship between someone who believes and someone who doesn't believe. Not that we are enemies, but there are partnerships that we can't enter into. And one of them is is marriage. So in other words, unequal yoking is those that believe being in partnerships with those that do not believe, either in marriage or maybe I can say in business.
Yeah,
I think it also applies.
So looking at that, Mfundisi Wami, what are the dangers of marrying a non-believer? So here I am as an example, because yes, I am married. So what are the dangers? For example, me as Zanele, here I am, I'm not seeing any any gentleman approaching me and stuff. But then there's this one, and then when we converse, I believe that, I get to understand that they do not believe in Christ. They are not a believer. What are the dangers of me being entangled with that person?
Okay, number one, maybe let me try use this kind of example. Providing more kind, more like a background to it. You find that you are in the light, they are in darkness.
Yeah.
So one other commentator said, if you are in darkness, if you are in light, oftentimes the one who is in darkness can see you. But you who is in the light, you can't see someone who is in the darkness.
Oh, interesting.
So if you are in the light, but you can see someone who is in dark, can we safely say you are in the light? So the question is, are you really in the light? Maybe for starters. Because those in the light should actually see those that are in light. But if you're in the light and you see and you appreciate and you have no problem with those, with the lifestyle, with the way of doing things of those that are in darkness, can we safely say you're actually in the light? So number one is that kind of compromise can actually, because we can simply say there is serious compromise on your side. Before you make a decision to accept such a one, it means actually compromised. It means, as far as your life is concerned, there are so many aspects in your life, so many points in your life, whereby in your Christian walk you could be in serious danger of falling because you are in the darkness. Technically, number two, if you're in the light and this one is in the darkness, it's more like you, because if you received the truth, we are at a higher level than the one who hasn't received light. So for you to be reaching out or to be choosing to be in partnership with someone at a lower level as spirituality is concerned, at a lower level as far as values are concerned, at a lower level as far as truth is concerned, it means chances are high they can pull you down. It won't be as easy to pull them up. So in that sense, in that case, chances of you compromising, chances of you denying the love that you received are very high. So those are some of the two dangers. You find yourself in darkness, you find yourself falling, compromising, being at a lower level than you used to be because of such kind of a partnership.
You know, Mfundisi, when you're saying that someone who's in the dark can see someone who's in the light, but us, we can't see. That one is quite interesting. I've never explored that. I had never heard that before, but I'm like, okay, this gives a different light to this particular scripture. So, Mfundisi, if I find out then, you know, sometimes, you know, we are so in love, we are so smitten that we don't even ask about these interesting things about your religion and stuff like that. So if here I am, we have already been married, should we now separate? Because I'm finding out after marriage that Haibo, Zanele is saying Jesus, whilst Innocent, for example, is worshipping the ancestors. So should we separate or should we continue? Because there shouldn't be divorce.
Okay, the quick answer is God doesn't like divorce. You have actually committed and you have found yourself in that situation. It means you should continue. In courts, if it's suffering, some would say suffer, continue. Because some of those things, some of those negatives, you actually discover them when you're already in. And the truth is, number one, divorce in that kind of situation is actually worse than continuing in that marriage. Their way. Number one, you have different religions, you have different faiths, you have different ways of seeing things, but you're already bound together by marriage. So this covenant, because marriage, by the way, is a covenant relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's a covenant, it's a relationship of blood. Because wherever there was a covenant, there was blood spilled. So it's a covenant relationship. It's a blood spilled relationship, kind of. So it's something that we can't just do away with. So in this case, yes, faiths are different, values are different, beliefs are different, but it is now the duty of the one who is in the light to work very hard to win back such a one that is not in the faith yet, that is not in the light yet. I've had experiences. I've had one experience that I remember vividly, being a district pastor, being a church pastor. I ran one program that it was a Voice of Prophecy, the Discover series program. And I said, each one of the members is expected to do a study to enroll one person. And that one person should be someone who is very close to you. So target the closest person to you. And I urged those that were married to people that were not yet believing, those that were not yet our members, I urged them to do this study, to enroll their husbands or to enroll their wives. Fortunately, three of my church members decided to enroll their husbands. And interestingly, the approach that we're using was, you do not give them out the lessons so that they can go through them on their own. You are also a student, so you go on lesson one, sit down, read this lesson together, ask questions. If you yourself as an Adventist, you seem not to understand, ask them, I seem not to understand this part. What is actually said? And by the end of the 26 lessons, fortunately, those women decided to do it, to go through the lessons faithfully with their husbands. I'll tell you, when I went for the graduation, two of the husbands decided for baptism.
Nice.
That very day. And one, after the service, he came to me crying. And he actually started crying during the service. And I went out with him and we had a long talk. because I was not the one preaching. And that's when he told me, Pastor, I went through these lessons. I was convinced. I was touched. I learned a lot from my wife, and I appreciate she was interested in my salvation.
Mm.
But you know what? There are things that I can't change immediately.
Mm.
Like I have a nursery of tobacco in my farm.
Mm-hmm.
But what do I do? Because I got a loan that is worth almost 10,000 US.
Mm.
I destroyed that nursery. I cannot afford to pay back. So what do I do? So he was in tears.
Mm.
But you know, this was the influence of someone who is in the light.
Mm.
He chose to intentionally bring light to their partner.
Yeah.
So I personally believe this issue of having these non-believers as partners, if it has already happened, something can be done. Prayer, through supplication, through study, through good living as a Christian. I personally believe many of them can actually be brought to life. So
mm-hmm.
you can't divorce. Divorce is not an option. The only option is to bring light those that are in darkness.
Mm-hmm. Mfundisi, there is a question that came through on our WhatsApp line. It says here, but if you are doubting the believer's light, are you suggesting that the verse can be applied among believers themselves, Pastor? That not all believers are believers in verity. That just came through on our WhatsApp line.
Thank you. I like that kind of interpretation.
Mm.
Because, you know, it's true. We are, because the definition of a believer, maybe let me replace the word believer in this text with disciple.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe a believer is a disciple. So it's possible that we have those that have been baptized, those that have their names in the church records, but they are not yet believers. Unfortunately, it seems the church doesn't know and can't evaluate whether this one is a believer or not, maybe, let me say. But you find that because the Bible says, Mark 16:16, we are supposed to do evangelism. We are supposed to go and preach the gospel. And after preaching, those that believe are the ones that we are supposed to baptize. So it's possible that somebody might get baptized without fully believing.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone has become a believer, when someone has become a disciple, believer is ready to make more believers.
Mm-hmm.
A disciple is ready to make more disciples.
Mm.
So if you are a disciple in verity, it means you are going to make more disciples. So if you don't, so your discipleship is actually questionable. So it's possible that, yes, you may think you made a believer, yet in verity, they are not yet a believer.
Mm.
So it's very possible that we may have some that we call spouses that are not yet believers.
Fundisi, there's another question that has come through. I think our listeners are very interested in this one of being unequally yoked. The question here is saying, is this where some get the belief to not marry out of their faith over and above the verse's implication on religion? Because we do have Mpindiswami people who are saying, do not marry a non-Adventist, for example. Is this where it's coming from, this thing?
Okay. The issue of faith, I mean, of denomination, in other words. When you say a believer, the definition of a believer to everyone, I mean, let me put it this way. Someone who is Adventist, let me just give an example of Adventist. Someone who is an Adventist, what do we believe? What made you join this church?
Mm-hmm.
It's all because of the beliefs. We have the fundamental beliefs 28 fundamental beliefs make me a believer, and because it made me a believer, I chose to be baptized in this particular faith. So you join that particular faith because of the beliefs, the belief system that they have. So based on that, what we believe as Adventists, we make up, we are called believers because we believe in these, because we believe our church is Bible-based, and all that we were taught, we made us believers. So as far as belief is concerned, you are actually a believer in the Adventist faith. Therefore, if you are anyone who doesn't believe in what you believe as an Adventist, it means they are not believers.
Okay.
And let me turn the coin and say, someone in another denomination, as far as their faith is concerned, I am not a believer.
The tables have turned.
So I am a believer. Yes. I am a believer as far as I understand the scriptures. But as far as they understand, as they read this text, the interpretation should be, this guy, this pastor is not a believer, and I can't marry him because he doesn't believe what I believe. So it is true. I, as an Adventist, I understand they are not believers. To them, they are unbelievers. So they should marry their own. We should marry our own.
So as we wrap up Mpundiswami, one last one, quick one, name Mpundiswami. So if we are in the church as women and there are no men that are taking our hand in marriage, can we now go out and marry there? Or we just have to wait for that one to come whenever they come?
Okay. It is the reality of life that the one that's out there, those in the darkness, can actually see us. Do you know, let me say it this way, what it's last week, one young man, he is not Adventist, we live in the same neighborhood, but he says to me, you know what, he had a girlfriend that I knew, and he says, no, this guy, these ladies are not faithful. I think I'm now convinced, because from experience, from my knowledge, from back home in the rural areas, these ladies have been the best.
How?
He is not Adventist, but he appreciates the light, appreciates the kind of values that Adventist ladies espoused. So, according to him, he said, when I want to marry, now convinced I should come to the Adventist church and find a woman to marry. So, the question now is, so if they come, should you take?
Yes.
Because, yes, he knows you are good, but is he good to you? Does he believe what you believe?
Yeah.
He loves you because of the faith that you have. He loves you because of the belief system that you espoused. But do you have the same kind of appreciation of that kind of guy? So it is important that, yes, they may not come on time, the ones that believe. But it may take some time, but it's very important to wait. It may be as if they are not there. And weirdly, guys in the church will be saying there are no women. The women in the church are saying there are no guys. So you find that...
all of us are saying the same thing.
Yes. I would rather go out the other one say, I'm rather go out. So you go and fish out there and bring your fish in the church.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, why couldn't you guys keep your eyes in the church and find each other?
Mm.
So sometimes you find that you would rather, it's better for me to go and find a devil that I don't know than to find a devil that I know. Yes, everyone in the church, we are all, the church is actually a hospital.
Yeah.
And people in the church are sick. They are ailing. But the level of some are intensive care, some are in church, but they are not responding quickly to treatment. Some are in outpatient. They are just there and they go home. I mean, they look okay, but they are sick. Some are intensive care. Some are in. We are in various levels of ailments. But at least they are sick. Assistance of the doctor called Jesus. They are ready to be assisted. They are ready for the help. They are ready for the healing. So I believe that it's better to have that kind of devil than the devil who doesn't even believe they need this doctor to help them. They haven't actually appreciated that they have ailments that need Jesus' healing. So stay in the church. Stay put. Do your best and wait for the right one. Jesus will provide.
Indeed. Mfundisi, thank you so much. There's a comment that came through as we were wrapping up saying that it's your local church without people. Visit other congregations, you will find them. So if we're at a church, you're saying that you will visit, you know, don't be stuck.
Don't be stuck in one place.
Yeah.
Don't be stuck in one place. Yeah, be active, visit. Sing, be a guest singer in that church. You will find your one. Be a preacher there. Ask pastors, they will tell you, when they were going out preaching, that's when they found their loved ones. During divine service, they actually that one is beautiful. I think I'll go after them. And they did, and now they are married. So be active in ministry. You will find the one that God has for you in ministry.
Yeah.
So don't wait. Sure.
Yeah, indeed. Mfundisi, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to ask that you do close for us in prayer.
It's all right. Dear Heavenly Father, I would like to thank you for the time we've had to talk about an equal your king. And it is our prayer that you may help us to be real disciples so that as we live our lives, we will seek to make more disciples. And in the process, we also pray that when you give the youths in our church partners, may you give them those that really believe, those that are true disciples of you. Help them as well first to be the best that they can be so that they can partner with the best kind of people that you give them. I pray that you may be with us as we continue this discussion throughout this month. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for that insight. May you have yourself a blessed day and happy Sabbath in advance.
Welcome. Same to you.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.